We have their diplomas here for them, along with a presentation of a gift Bible. And we trust they will continue to pursue the things of God and the Word of God. And so we're going to present those at this time. Agassiz Alfred. Daniel with honors. Carter Derbyshire with honors. Olivia Fenwick with honors. Matthew Ho with honors. Ethan Lung with honors. Nicholas Lai with honors. Caleb Mall with honors. William McCullough with honors. Shaylin Narn with honors. Gabriel Ng with honors. Ruth Orlenko. Deborah Susapalai with honors. Lauren Sterrett with honors. Aiden Wilton with honors. Prashant Yogendran. Hingis Sang with honors. So now I'm going to ask the grade 8 homeroom teacher, Miss Robinson, if she would come at this time and present the special awards for the grade 8 class.
It is my honor and privilege to introduce the grade 8 graduates and their achievements to you. This class has truly been a privilege and a blessing to teach this year. I could not ask for a better homeroom class for my first year at Whitfield. Many of you are family members and friends, and you are well aware of all the hard work that brought these students to this momentous day, the day when they graduate from grade 8 and move on finally to high school. I have been privileged to be their homeroom teacher this year. We have spent a lot of time together. I have them for devotions twice a week. I taught them history, geography, English, and art. And I think they probably all deserve an award for enduring so much time with me. I've been able to watch and observe them this past year as they've gone through their various academic accomplishments. I've seen them when they were frustrated, when they were discouraged, and celebrated with them when they achieved success or tackled a difficult concept. These grade eights have finished amazing projects for the science fair, completed many projects as well as many tests and quizzes. They should also be commended because I've made them do a lot of speeches and presentations, which they remind me every time that they find terrifying. And as I stand here, I can commiserate with them. But they have persevered and done very well in their public speaking skills, which you will see later as our valedictorians give their speeches. They have learned to work together in the classroom and in athletic events, and they've done very well in their ACSI competitions. This year we have laughed together, gone through stressful times, and also have learned a lot about ourselves through this process. First of all, I'm so proud of these students and what they have accomplished academically. Many of them have worked hard to achieve greater success in subjects that they find difficult or are not their preference. Some achieve great academic success on a regular basis, but they still strive for excellence in everything that they do, and are always pushing themselves to do more and reach higher. Both deserve to be commended, for they all have done their very best and challenged themselves to see what they could accomplish. I'm so proud of their hard work and their perseverance. The first award this evening is to reward someone who has achieved the greatest academic success this year, someone who has maintained the highest average throughout the year. While there are many students who are consistently achieving high marks, there is one whose achievements are outstanding. This student makes fantastic PowerPoints, is a very dependable student in independent work and in group projects, and he is always striving to do better and improve. He also engineered a device to keep the plant in my classroom alive all year, which is truly an amazing feat. But I would like to commend this student for outstanding academic achievement, and that is Matthew Ho. There are also other students who have stood out in particular subjects, and we would like to take a moment to commend two students for excellence in French studies. We are encouraged by their diligence and enthusiasm in the learning of a second language, and we know that this will be of great benefit to them as they move through high school. We are thankful for their willing spirit as they helped fellow students also in this subject. And for this award, I call Olivia Fenwick and Matthew Ho. As well as their academics, their sportsmanship is to be commended as well. At this time, I would like to call Mr. Michaelay to give the sportsmanship awards.
The male and female students who are awarded the Athletic Sportsmanship Award are A-plus contributors in phys ed, demonstrating a high commitment to their fitness and development of skills over a variety of sports. But they have also developed and practiced interpersonal skills that lead to positive relationships with their peers. And in a competitive environment, that's done with your teammates and your opponent. And these two students have a similar demeanor out there in the field. They're very calm and yet very intense. Their efforts never waver regardless of the scoreline. It makes you want to be their teammate, and it makes you very honored to be their opponent. This year's winners are Ruth Orlenko and Aiden Wilton.
This year, I've also been able to see these students on a personal level, to hear their hearts and what God is teaching them. I can honestly say that you are looking at a class full of servant-minded young people. I don't know how many times a teacher has come to me after having my grade eights, helping them with the play or setting up for some special event, and they said to me, "Your grade eights were so helpful. They're such good workers. They they just were volunteering without even being asked. And I forget that it is unusual for a group of 13-year-olds to be so considerate, because I experience their obliging attitudes on a regular basis. If I ask for volunteers to pass out papers, move chairs, or help set up the video, I always have lots of volunteers. Maybe they just want to watch a video, but I also think that they are just very servant-minded. I'm impressed by their care also for one another. We had the verse Galatians 5:13 on the board for a while, and I really feel that this class embodies and has taken this verse to heart. It reads, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." There's great harmony and care in this class, and I know that it is a rare thing. We have to say goodbye to a few students this year as they move on to different high schools, and those students are Matthew Ho, William McCulloch, Shailen Nairn, Hinga Sang, Aiden Wilton, and Prashanthio Gendron. And I'd just like to take this time to say that you will be greatly missed and that we wish all the best for them in their high school career. Next, I would like to commend certain students awarded for their citizenship, their kindness, and caring for others. But this is a class on a whole that is to be commended for their caring and just very servant-minded attitude towards one another. There are a few, though, who do show outstanding citizenship. When we think of the candidates for the Howard Saunders Award for exemplary citizenship, we think of students who are respectful to their teachers and their peers, who are responsible in their schoolwork, and who set a good example of kindness, humility, and a servant attitude to their classmates. Not only do they show kindness, but they go above and beyond to help their teachers and their classmates. They have a mindset of selflessness that seeks to put the needs of others before their own. They truly show a Christ-like attitude. This year we have three candidates who in particular demonstrate all of these qualities. They will receive the monetary gift that comes with the Howard Saunders Award. Those three students are Deborah Sissipale, Lauren Starrett, and Carter Derbyshire.
Thank you, Ms. Robinson, for presenting those awards. Now we're going to have the valedictory speech for grade 8. I'm going to invite Carter and Lauren to the pulpit.
Good evening, parents, teachers, and fellow students. It is a great honor to be here representing the grade 8 graduating class, or what we very humbly like to think as the best graded class Whitfield has ever seen. But, of course, we could be just a little bit partial. The achievements of this class cannot have been possible without the help, support, and guidance from our parents, teachers, and the overall inspiration from the entire school. To these mentors, I say our success is your success. You've been there with heartfelt prayers and encouragement. You had the faith in us when we doubted ourselves. You instilled in us the self-confidence needed to reach for our dreams. To these people, we, the grade 8 class, thank each and every one of you. So tonight is really all of our celebration. Job well done. Give yourselves a hand.
We have mentioned the great education we have gotten this year, so I think it's only fair that we mention the teachers who have helped us. Ms. Robinson, our homeroom teacher, Mr. Michaeli, our science, gym, and woodshop teacher, along with Mrs. West and Mrs. Lewis, our cooking and sewing teachers, Mrs. Stevenson, our French teacher, Mrs. Peterman, our math teacher, Mr. Cleland, our computer teacher, Mrs. Espute, our music teacher, and Mr. Bartz, our Bible teacher. We thank you all for being so kind, patient, and understanding with our class. In Romans 15, verse 4, it says, "The scriptures are written for our learning. This is Whitfield's motto text, and I think it's a suitable one considering the spiritual guidance given to us daily by our teachers in devotions, assemblies, and Bible classes. You can really see Christ in the lives of our teachers, and it's a blessing and encouragement for us as students.
Today is a turning point in each one of our lives. For some, it is time to say goodbye, but for many, we'll return for the next phase of preparation. Either way, our lives will hold many surprises for us, but what I do know is we'll face each and every challenge with a strong foundation and the support by all of you sitting in this room who have touched our lives at Whitfield.
We commend you all for taking the time to help us come this far. For many of us, Whitfield has become our homes. The friends and connection we have made will make it difficult to say goodbye to those not returning for high school. We wish everyone leaving well and look forward to seeing many of our classmates return to Whitfield for high school. We would like to thank everyone for all their efforts to help us have a better future. Thank you.
Thank you, Carter and Lauren, for that tribute. I especially appreciate your acknowledgement of the teachers, and I want to also pay tribute to our teaching staff. I want to acknowledge them tonight and all their labors. We have a wonderful team, and I thank them for their labors this year as principal, and I appreciate so much the efforts of the staff on a daily basis to prepare these students for this point in time. And they do all with all their heart for the glory of God. And I have great respect for them as a group of teachers and honor them tonight. It's my delight to recognize especially two teachers tonight who have been serving for some years. And I want to pay tribute now, just before we move on to the grade 12s, to two teachers. First of all, Mrs. Amy Peterman. Mrs. Peterman may be surprised at this presentation tonight, but she has been serving for 10 years in Whitfield and comes to work prepared every day, is diligent, and has a heart for the Lord. She teaches grade 11 and grade 12 English. She teaches human growth and development. She teaches the grade 8 math, as we've heard already. And I have to say, she goes above and beyond the call of duty. She leads homeroom devotions. She organizes profitable field trips. And the grade 12s had an opportunity to go on a field trip with Mrs. Peterman. And thanks to her for organizing much of that trip. And I have to say, she has a kind and a humble spirit, is a delight to work with, approaches her work with great diligence, is so organized. And I would invite her to come to the pulpit now. I have a special plaque here for her, marking 12 years of outstanding service. So the plaque reads, Whitfield Christian Schools presented to Amy Peterman to acknowledge with grateful appreciation the 10 years of dedicated service. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Thank you so much for your labor. This next presentation is bittersweet for me. I have enjoyed sweet fellowship with Pastor Jesse Bartz, and sadly, he is going to be leaving Whitfield this year to concentrate on full-time ministry. He is the pastor of Ennerdale Baptist Church. Not only does he teach here 3 days a week, but he's a full-time pastor as well. And I want to pay special tribute to Jesse. He has been with us for 9 years, and I can't say enough about the impact, the influence this man has had upon our high school students. And I want to acknowledge him tonight. He teaches Bible in the high school. He teaches world religions and philosophy. These are important classes preparing our students for graduation and for life outside of Whitfield and for university. And so Jesse has served with us 9 years. He was here before me. And sadly, he is taking his leave to dedicate himself to the pastorate. He has a pastor's heart. That is evident by his service. He is well-loved among the student body. His devotional messages each week speak to the heart. He has a desire to see our students mature and grow in Jesus Christ. And so it's bitter that he's leaving. I'm a little bitter. I'm reluctant to let him go. I don't want to let him go, but he knows there's always an open door here at Whitfield. And the reason for that is his influence upon our students has been immense. And it's evident that he loves the Lord and he loves these students behind me. And he loves them as he meets them in the hallway, as he takes time to answer their questions, difficult questions, theological questions, philosophical questions, counseling and directing them from the Word of God day by day. I have to say he's a great asset to this ministry, and he will be deeply missed because God has used him to mold these students into the image of Christ. And that's what I so appreciate about him. And we have to say, we may not see the fruit of our labors right away, maybe not immediately, but in time, the Lord will reward that faithful service. And only eternity will tell the debt we owe to this man. So, Mr. Bartz, you will be deeply missed. I'll ask you to come now. We have a... So I have a plaque for him, and also we have a monetary gift that we would like to present to Pastor Bartz. Whitfield Christian Schools presented to Jesse Bartz with our deep gratitude for 9 years of outstanding service. We thank God for your faithfulness and for the impact you have made upon our students. Hebrews 6, verse 10. Hear, hear.
I don't really know what to say after all of that. To God alone the glory. Anything that messed up while I was here has my fingerprints all over it. Anything that went right has his fingerprints all over it. I've been privileged to be a part of Whitfield these 9 years, and it's a tough decision. Whitfield isn't a perfect place, but it's a great place, and it's tough. It's tough to move on. But I do believe that it's time. I'm so grateful for how God has used this place and the staff, the students, to help shape my life. I was thinking back just as I was cleaning up the classroom this last week of just the many times where God and His grace has worked through the staff and worked through the students and in very unexpected ways, at times where I was feeling incredibly discouraged or depressed, and God and His grace used His servants to bring me encouragement. And I hope that the students and staff here recognize just how special this place is and how great a place this is. Thank you to each of my friends that I worked with. I actually, the other day, sat down and started writing down names. And if I went through the names that I wrote down and the gratitude that I have for each one, we wouldn't be doing any commencement tonight. It's you guys have influenced my life and helped me in so many ways. Thank you so much. Thank you to each student that I've had the privilege of teaching, including those that are graduating tonight. You are a blessing to me. Keep the faith. First thing that I ever preached when I came to Whitfield was about having the right passion, having one holy passion. That passion that Paul had that said that he wanted, whether he lived or died, wanted Christ to be magnified in his body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Life is Christ, death is gain. What do you gain by dying? You be with Christ, Paul says, which is far better. Life is Christ, death is Christ. It's all about Christ. And may God give each of us that kind of heart. May God give us that passion. Living or dying, it's all about Jesus. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so, again, to God alone the glory.
I work with a wonderful group of people, colleagues who are supportive, who love the Lord, and there's wonderful unity among our staff. And not only are they colleagues in the profession of teaching, but they are dear friends in Christ, and we serve the Lord together. As Pastor Bartz takes his leave from us, and we have to replace him, and in order to replace him, we need not only one man, but we need two men to replace Mr. Bartz. And we're welcoming Pastor Daniel Olson. He's going to take on some of the Bible classes and the world religion. And we're also welcoming Mr. John Torres, who will be teaching the philosophy class for us next year. So I would ask that you give our staff a big round of applause. Again, congratulations to the grade 8 class. This time we're going to have the presentations of diplomas and gift Bibles to the grade 12 graduates. So I would ask the grade 12 class of 2015 to please stand. Jacob Antolin, Ontario Scholar. Ruth Aralia, Ontario Scholar. Justin Barbey. Phoebe Chang, Ontario Scholar. David Devaparan, Ontario Scholar. Michael Edwards, Ontario Scholar. Anthony Emmanuel. Nathaniel Fenwick, Ontario Scholar. Hannah Fessahel. Alicia Goddard. Jay Hu, Ontario Scholar. Julia Kruger. Newman Law, Ontario Scholar. Shannon McVitie, Ontario Scholar. Jesse Musa, Ontario Scholar. Milos Schultz, Ontario Scholar. Joel Tomlinson, Ontario Scholar. Lindsay Tomlinson, Ontario Scholar. Jonathan Young, Ontario Scholar. Leah Zila, Ontario Scholar. So I'm going to ask Mrs. Saunders now to come and to present the Grade 12 Awards.
Well, folks, it is once again my privilege to be able to honor the Grade 12 class of 2015. And as you have just heard, most of them are Ontario Scholars, which is a very commendable achievement to be able to obtain an average of at least 80% in their grade 12 year. I also honor and welcome former students and graduates that are here tonight. It is a very special joy to welcome you back to Whitfield, and I'm glad that you are here with us. Each graduating class is very unique, and many of our graduates tonight have been here since JK. So our sincere thanks to those families as well that have supported us for these many years. Now, in my heart, I am still thinking a little bit about the play of last week, and I would like to just begin with a little drama mention, not just the grade 12s, but the grade 8 students as well. Last week, many of you enjoyed the production, A Crazy Adventure on Crusoe's Island, and I would just like to give an honorable mention to the students that worked so hard to bring this production to pass. And I just want to read your names, and if you would please stand, and I would ask the audience if you would just hold your applause, because I think it's important for you to see how many of the people up behind me had a part in this and really gave all to it. And in grade 8, please stand, Zachary Brown, who was Uncle Friedrich, Carter Derbyshire, who was one of the Swiss sons, Fritz, Gabriel Ng, a butterfly, and Lauren Sterrett Liesel, the Swiss daughter. And then in grade 12, Jacob Antolin, the sound technician. Ruth Aralia was the news reporter. You're all standing good. Phoebe Chang was a sound technician. David Deva-Paran did special effects. Michael Edwards was on sound. Anthony Emmanuel was Wilhelm, the Swiss father. Nathaniel Fenwick was awesome on lights. Hannah Fessaha, the bridesmaid Felicity. Jay Hugh was a sound technician. Shannon McVitie was Maria, the Swiss mother. Jesse Musa, the pirate, Captain Starling. Milos Schultz was photography and program. Joel Tomlinson was Barney. Lindsay Tomlinson was an important troubleshooter. Jonathan Young was a sound technician, and Leah Zila was in hair and makeup. And, of course, they had many other people with them, but I think they deserve a round of applause. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. Every year, Whitfield honors students who have earned an overall average of 95% or higher. And this year, actually, four students have reached that milestone, which is tremendous. Most of them doing all maths and sciences. And so it boggles my mind how they were able to do all that and be so involved in a play. And so there are three students who reached the 95, and they have tied. So I'm going to ask these three people to come forward. The first is Nathaniel Fenwick, Lindsay Tomlinson, and Jonathan Young. There was a fourth student, and he's probably wondering right now what happened to his final marks, because he knows that he is at least 95. This student had an incredible 97% average, and that student is Jesse Musa. Jesse came with his own fan club tonight, too, so it was rather helpful. The next award is for sportsmanship, and it is not necessarily an annual award, but sometimes there are students who deserve special recognition for not only participating enthusiastically in whatever is going on athletically at Whitfield, but are also able to accept defeat and encourage teammates in whatever sport we are doing. And so this includes track and field events as well as intramural games throughout the year. And so the physical education instructors have asked that the 2015 award be given to two students, two worthy students in 2015, and they are Lindsay Tomlinson and Jesse Musa. Important to also mention that both of these students have faced hurdles this year with the added pressure of a parent, in both cases, with serious health problems. And I'm very thankful that those parents are actually in our audience tonight. The winners of the Vanderwall Award for 2015 are two honourable young men who have proved that hard work, determination and perseverance do make a difference. And it gives me great pleasure to present the award to Justin Barbet and Michael Edwards. We also have two unique student situations amongst our grade 12 graduating class that are worthy of a special mention, and I would just like to call down here two young men. I'm not sure where one of them is. He's in the audience somewhere, and that is Jeshurun Susapalai. Jeshurun, if you would come here, and also Milos Schultz, if I could please have you both here. Jeshurun, better known as Jay, and Milos, better known as Mickey. They both left us. I'll mention first of all Jay. Jay left us at the end of grade 10 to take up a very special soccer program with Manchester City, followed by an amazing new opportunity in Valencia, Spain. So this is Jay. So come over here, folks. Okay. And Jay is now moving. He was playing for the number one division for the 19 and under in Spain. And now he's moving into the adult league. And Jay has been working very hard in Spain, first of all in England, with his high school subjects. He was working partially with our teaching staff for the last 3 years, as well as doing Canada eSchool. And Jay has not quite made graduation diploma tonight. He knows that. But we do want to take this opportunity to honor him for what he has done. He has a great future ahead of him. And so we will look forward to possibly seeing him on some games, who knows, in years to come. But we just really wanted to honor you, Jay, tonight, and to make a special mention of you, because he's just home from Spain. He's going back again next week, and we probably will never have this opportunity again. He's so close. Probably within a month, he will have his high school diploma finished, and we have it for him with his name on it, ready to give to him. But, Jay, congratulations. It's been a really good time. The other student beside me is Milos, or Mickey Schultz. Mickey was at Whitfield for 7 years before going to the Czech Republic with his missionary parents. Mickey has been working independently throughout his high school career. He's been following our curriculum, and he has been working also at personal athletics. He has a personal athletics coach. He is a middle distance runner. He has also represented the Czech Republic in races. Mickey has been working valiantly this year, particularly in his grade 12 courses through the Independent Learning Center and also through Whitfield in order to graduate tonight. And so he is also among the top outstanding academic achievers with a 95% average. So, Mickey, we want to honor you with that tonight as well. Congratulations. I would also just like to pay tribute to the teaching staff that worked with these two gentlemen, Mrs. Peterman, Miss Jew, Mrs. Browett, and Mr. Bartz, particularly. These folks have worked with them through correspondence, and Dr. Tors as well, and so we do appreciate what you have done voluntarily. Our foremost and final award is very special to us here at Whitfield. It is the Grace Tofik Award, given in loving memory of a former student who passed away in her grade 10 year, and she is with the Lord today. Grace was a beautiful girl with a beautiful testimony, and the Grace Tofik Award honors not only exemplary citizenship, but spiritual leadership among the student body. We asked our grade 12s and our collegiate staff members to nominate a candidate. The result was unquestionably unanimous, and there are two students receiving this award for 2015, as each was committed to encouraging fellow students to honor the Lord at the student prayer meetings and many other endeavors to encourage spiritual development. These are not the only spiritual students in our graduating class. We want to emphasize that. But these two went over and above, and they took a lot of time out of a very busy schedule to build up others in their demanding schedule. And the same students also are unashamed to show forth the love of Christ and his word to their peers and to us, the staff members. So tonight I am very delighted to present the Grace Tofik Award for the graduating class of 2015 to Phoebe Chang and Shannon McVitie. Our grade 12 class will be leaving us, and we are sad about that. And they have many exciting choices for 2015. And I just want to tell you very quickly where they are going. Jacob Antolin, York University for Kinesiology. Ruth Aralia to Laurier for Health Sciences. Justin Barbet, Durham College, Electrical Engineering. Phoebe Chang, McMaster, Kinesiology. David Devaparan, UOIT for Engineering. Michael Edwards, University of Toronto, Life Sciences. Anthony Emmanuel, Bob Jones University in South Carolina for Communications. Nathaniel Fenwick, University of Toronto, Computer Sciences. Hannah Fesaha, York University, Kinesiology. Alicia Goddard, UOIT, Commerce. Jay Hugh, McMaster University, Business. Julia Kruger, Seneca College, Early Childhood Education. Newman Law, Waterloo University, Biomedical Science. Shannon McVitie, Liberty University in Virginia for pre-med. Jesse Musa, Queen's University, Belfast. And I have to say, I'm a little jealous. That's my hometown. Queen's University, Belfast, which is a first for us here at Whitfield, dentistry. Milos Schultz, Newton College in Prague, a school of business. Joel Tomlinson, Ryerson for communications. Lindsay Tomlinson, UOIT, kinesiology. And Leah Zila, thankfully, is coming back. Even though she has graduated, she wants to do more courses. So we are delighted to welcome Leah back to Whitfield again next year. So congratulations to our grade 12 graduates. And I would ask you, please, to pray for them, that beyond all else, that they would honor the collegiate motto and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things will be added unto them. Thank you very much.
I want to acknowledge our academic supervisor, Mrs. Saunders, tonight for her work with the grade 12 class in preparing them and taking them through the application process as they were trying to figure out which school they would go to and apply for different schools, and helping them in guidance. And as their grade 12 homeroom teacher, she has them on a daily basis, and there's a lot of communication there. And we appreciate all the work that Mrs. Saunders does with the grade 12 class. We're going to have the valedictory speech now. I'm going to invite Mr. Jesse Musa to come to the pulpit. I have a little keeper here for him, and he's going to bring his speech.
Good evening. Special thank you to everyone here for joining us for this most memorable celebration. You know, I once heard someone say, each hand washes the other, but both wash the face. And I thought to myself, there's no better way to describe the environment we have at Whitfield, where you have a tight-knit class of incredible people that selflessly love one another and encourage each other, but also one where the individuals understand that they're merely humble servants of a greater cause. I love it. There's no school I'd rather attend, and I see no better way of getting the most out of your 4 years of high school. You know, Aristotle once said, the roots of education are bitter, but the fruit is sweet. But the astute, wise, knowledgeable, prudent Mr. Aristotle never went to high school at Finch and Nielsen. Had he, I'm sure he would have recanted those foolish words in a heartbeat. Because at this school, considering the students, the teachers, and the atmosphere, it's not the destination that makes the journey worthwhile. The journey in and of itself is worth taking. It's a journey that builds character, one that provides excellent education but at the same time teaches crucial values and constructs proper worldviews. It's one that taught responsibility, inspired leadership, and strengthened friendships. And it's one that I wouldn't have rather went through with any group of people other than the pretty faces sitting behind me right now. Now, I know that many of you probably don't know many of them, so allow me to say a little something about each one of them. I'll start with Jacob. Jacob joined us this year, but it took no time for everyone to become good friends with him because he himself was a good friend. He's sincere and he's lighthearted and he goes hard at the gym. You just can't really tell because the sleeveless gown we ordered for him didn't come in time for the ceremony. Jacob, you've been a great friend and I'd urge you to continue being a great friend. And remember, if the bar's not bending, you're not putting in work. Ruth is someone anyone would enjoy being around. She's a leader by nature, but she's down to earth and she's easy to approach and she's genuine. Ruth, those are excellent qualities to have. Continue to grow with them and always be the good friend you've been to me and to the rest of the class. Justin is someone who can expertly put aside worry in troubling situations. It's not a lack of care, it's an ability to not dwell on the negatives of any circumstance he's in. Justin, all I can say is I wish I could do it as easily as you do. Keep doing what you're doing. Next is Phoebe. Phoebe's a natural-born encourager, and I know because I can pretty much never feel down when I'm around her. She's someone who has zero problem putting others in front of herself. She's probably dished out like 20 trees worth of lined paper to the rest of us when we come unprepared for class, and she seems to be able to see the bright side of every single situation. Phoebe, promise me always keep that big, sweet smile on your face. What I love most about David is his thoughtfulness. David once came to school wearing a doctor's face mask when he was sick because he didn't want anyone else to catch it. David, that's a commendable trait, and I'm sure everyone else has recognized it. I'm sure we'd all benefit greatly if we were able to think of others the way that you do. Michael Edwards, where do I even start? There are a million things I could say, and picking one is just too difficult. There's just no such thing as a bad time with Mike. He has a way of making even the most dull and stressful times enjoyable. Mike, it's hard to believe that I'm going to go from seeing you 6 times a week to none, but whether it was dragging you on your skateboard with my car or watching you stuff a whole pack of bear paws in your mouth at once, it's been great. Never change, Mike. Something I love about Anthony is his ability and willingness to see people for who they really are. And because of that, you can know that none of his words or feelings are ever superficial. Anthony, I think it's awesome how you don't just look at the surface, but look at a person's true character. I really value my friendship with Nathaniel because of his combination of both compassion and ability to rationally observe the situations that are presented to him. The result is a person that has his friend's best interest in mind and also one that gives wise advice. Nathaniel, thank you so much for being that friend to me. Hannah has never failed to make me laugh, and she has a unique type of kindness and genuineness that's balanced perfectly with a great sense of humor. Hannah, for all the kind words and for all the times you made my sides cramp up from laughing, thank you. Alicia really knows how to make someone feel welcomed. There's a particular warmth and compassion in her way of speaking, and it shows how caring she really is. Alicia, your friendliness is evident, and it really makes a difference for the people that you interact with. Continue to demonstrate it the way that you do. What I really respect about Jay is his humility. It's hard to display it like Jay does, and I think it's even harder to pair it with a willingness to act upon it by stepping in to help others like he does. Jay, your humility is really encouraging, especially when you understand Mr. Gomez's math weeks before the rest of us. Julia is someone who isn't afraid to stand up for what she believes. She has a strong will, yet she's gentle in the way that she chooses to speak her mind. Julia, continue to be as strong as you are, something we all admire about you. Newman's another one of those people that I could talk about all night. He really is one of the most entertaining people to be around, and it's all mixed in with a love for his peers and for the Lord. Newman, it's been great watching you grow from a 10-year-old boy with a mushroom cut who couldn't distinguish between he and she to the person you are today. I need my daily dose of Newman, and I don't know how I'll do without it next year. I'm not going to lie, it was kind of hard to get to know Tate when he just came to the school because he was sleeping half the day. But what I did was stuck out to me is his generosity. And I'm talking about a generosity that runs a bit deeper than being willing to share his French fries with us, which I do think takes a special type of discipline. Tate, I really appreciate your readiness to give up what you have to others at any time. What I admire about Shannon is her sincerity. She has a unique type of approachability, and it's special the way it's never difficult to share anything with her. Shannon, it's hard to come by people as genuine as you. I really appreciated your honest friendship over the past 4 years, and I'm sure the rest of the class did as well. Mickey was with us for the beginning and end of the year, and while I didn't get to see him as much as the rest of these guys, we can all attest to his incredible work ethic, and I think we can all learn a valuable lesson from his diligence. Mickey, it was great having you for the time that we did. I know you're a sort of quiet person naturally, but I also know that still waters run deep. Joel's a gentle and kind-hearted person, jam-packed with witty jokes, and he always seems to be able to offer a one-of-a-kind take on things that both amuses me and gets me think of things from a different perspective. Joel, I think your mastery of clever comments is brilliant. Keep it up. Lindsay is another one of those students with an exceptional work ethic, and never have I seen her waste an opportunity to study at school. And aside from all her hard work, she excels exceedingly in sports.
She can do a backflip.
And she's made a habit of showing us all up on sports day. Lindsay, your discipline with your studies and athletics is inspiring, but I do think she should have let someone else grab a gold medal every once in a while. Jonathan's always been one of my good friends that I could really rely on. He's a smart, funny guy, and he's a person that I can be sure is there for me 100% of the time. Johnny, there are 100 inside jokes I could say right now, but I'll save them for another time and place. Thanks so much for always being the friend that I can count on. What I think is great about Leia is her ability to listen to a person regardless of how deep or light the subject is, an ability that I feel is often lacking in so many of us. Leia, being slow to speak at certain times and choosing when to just listen is not a sign of weakness. Rather, I think it really displays your kind nature. Well, there you have it. That's a squad. That's a crew. These are the finely dressed ladies and gentlemen that made my high school experience so unforgettable. My mind is full to the brim with fond memories of these guys, and boy, am I going to miss seeing their faces every day. But we all know we'd be absolutely nowhere without the real MVPs, the ones responsible for our education, the ones that helped guide our spiritual lives, and the ones that spared me countless detentions even though I was late all the time. Teachers, I'm talking about you, and I know it often seems that we're ungrateful for all your work, so allow me to say a few words to show my appreciation. Mr. Gomez, your classes were unique because you cared infinitely more that we understand the content than that we were able to use some formulas to get some right answers. It was never a dull time in your class, which is strange because you strictly teach difficult courses full of numbers. You taught us to establish good habits, ones I'm sure will help us in the future. You probably didn't know this, but scattered in my math notebooks are my favorite Mr. Gomez quotes. And since I just talked about good habits, I think I'll share one about that. You once looked at us and said, "Practice doesn't make perfect, the right practice makes perfect. Just stupid practice makes it more stupid." And that hit me right here. Right here. Mr. Gomez, thank you for everything. Ms. Peterman, your kind heart meant so much more to us than you know. You have a special way of making each one of your students feel welcomed, loved, respected, and valued, and also that each student's opinions and perspectives matter. We appreciate it so much because there's no easier way to get through school than to do it with the feeling that you matter to your teachers, and that's precisely the feeling that you gave to us. And if any of you in the audience think your mama make the best chocolate chip cookies, I'm sorry to inform you, you're sadly mistaken. Ms. Spearman, thank you for everything. Ms. Fernandez, I've never seen someone more enthusiastic about chemistry. I had no idea how someone could be so excited about naming organic molecules, but I must say that the attitude you displayed and the atmosphere and the mood that you established made it so much easier. The care you have for each student is evident, and your joy when your students succeed is obvious. Ms. Fernandez, Thank you for everything. Dr. Torres, all I can say is, I don't know how you do it. Before you, I would have never imagined that a working doctor could balance her practice with the responsibility of teaching two full high school courses, but somehow, some way, you managed to do it, and it's nothing short of incredible. Dr. Torres, thank you for everything. Mrs. Browett, while I didn't have the privilege of being in any of your grade 12 classes, what I've seen in you for my grade 9 and 10 classes is enough to label you as one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. Who knew it was humanly possible to mark as fast as you do? You know, teaching six full high school courses is no small task, but you do it all with the utmost diligence. Mrs. Browett, thank you for everything. Unfortunately, there is one beloved teacher that won't be returning to the school next year. Mr. Bartz, I could talk all night about how great of a godly example you've been to the student body, and that still wouldn't have been enough. You've been an extraordinary spiritual leader for us, and your wisdom has truly been invaluable. You know, patience is a virtue that I think we all have to admit we struggle with, but you demonstrate it in the most amazing way I've seen. You're extremely faithful in everything you do, despite your extremely busy schedule. You know, you mean a lot to me personally and to the rest of the school, so I can't help but share my favorite Mr. Bartz moment. You probably know where I'm going with this. So in the second term of my grade 11 year, all I would say to Mr. Bartz is, Mr. Bartz, fight me, let's wrestle. And all he would say is, no, I'm too old, I just eat Doritos. And was I serious? No, I was just kidding. So on the half day, right before the March break, I was at it again, and I got the same response. So I said, okay, and I walked down to the gym. Two minutes later, Mr. Bartz appears at the door. He changed from his shirt and pants, and he's wearing his Leafs jersey. He looks at me, he's like, mats down. So, and that's when roughly 15 students, phones out taking videos, saw Pastor Jesse Bartz absolutely obliterate the helpless Jesse Musa in the shortest wrestling match of all time. I told you, Mr. Bartz, I'd do it. You probably didn't believe me, but I'm calling you out right now. I want a rematch. And I have hundreds of witnesses, so you can't back out. But this time, we're playing my sport. And I knew you wouldn't have come prepared, so I brought you a pair of my old Hyper Dunks, and we can meet on the court in an hour. I quote Pastor Olson, November 2011 Bible class. Most people will say, hey, can you turn the lights off? I can't get to sleep. Mr. Bartz will say, could you please dim the effulgence of illumination? You're depriving me of repose. Mr. Bartz, thank you so much for everything. A very special thank you also to the high school teachers that I haven't mentioned by name, Ms. Stevenson, Ms. Jew, Mrs. Lansing, Mrs. Espew, Ms. McAnally, Ms. Robinson, Mr. Mikelay, Mrs. West, and Mrs. Lewis. Each of you has done an exceptional job. We both recognize it and are extremely grateful for it. To the elementary teachers, don't think for a moment that we've forgotten about anything you've done for us. You deserve much of the credit for making me who I am today from that chubby fourth grader that walked in on his first day 9 years ago. Another special word of thanks to the management staff that works behind the scenes in keeping the school running. Mr. Cleland, the master, the expert, the specialist, the sensei of the one-line puns, all your hard work does not go unnoticed. Thank you. Dr. Saunders, for your diligent work and for all your spiritual leadership, thank you. Mr. Sterrett, my favorite principal, you do an admirable job operating the school. Your wisdom and leniency go a long way, and we are truly grateful for you. And finally, the biggest of thank yous to Mrs. Saunders, our high school guidance counselor and grade 12 homeroom teacher. Nothing I say can do justice for all she's done for me and for my class. You know, she's a humble person and she won't take the credit that she deserves. So much of what she does often goes unnoticed until someone needs her as much as I did. I applied to more schools than I can count on both hands. And guess who was continually looking up information and proofreading essays, writing references, and giving advice? Her deep love for her students, as well as her even deeper love for the Lord, is incredible. And she truly puts her heart and soul into everything that she does. Mrs. Saunders, I can't express how so grateful I am for all you've done for me and for our class. Quick shout out to the family and to the boys for coming out. I think they got me a bouquet of flowers. I don't know how to feel about that. Parents of the graduate... Parents of the graduating class, I didn't forget you. Congratulations on producing such a lovely group of people. I know you're the class's biggest supporters, and we're truly indebted to you for all you've done. To my own parents, for all your love, thank you. For your encouragement, and for your comfort and confidence and inspiration that you gave me, When I thought things were out of control, thank you. For all your wisdom, thank you. For teaching me to rely on our Father in heaven, thank you. For the long days and sleepless nights spent praying and fasting, thank you. And I couldn't have dreamed of parents that display their love and care in a better way. And if I lived to be 1,000 years old, I could never give back everything you gave me. You know, it's been a long ride. I started attending Whitfield 9 years ago, and I've seen people come and go. I've seen friendships being strengthened, new ones being made. I've seen the growth of so many different individuals, and I've seen the 20 sitting behind me mature into these awesome men and women. And right now I see a special bond between these graduates that I've cherished for so long, and it's a shame that we won't be able to stay together. But before we go, I'd like to address them one more time. It's kind of awkward because I'm not looking at them, but here goes. Congratulations, class of 2015. But as you graduate and go your separate paths, I need you to remember this. You don't have to have all the wisdom and know all the answers, because you are all servants of the source of all wisdom, the one who has your lives drawn out. You don't have to have all the strength, because you are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And you don't have to be great, because our great Lord loves to play beautiful music with broken instruments. The thought of an uncertain tomorrow may seem daunting and overwhelming, and it's true that we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. I'd urge you to make the most of the years ahead of you. You know, in order for a turtle to move, it has to stick its neck out, and you can't climb a ladder if your hands are in your pockets. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson once asked what we would do if the stars only came out once every 1,000 years. Obviously, no one would be sleeping that night. Everyone would be captivated by their beauty and mesmerized by their charm, and we would all be in awe of the twinkling in the skies. But we have the stars out every night, and we're stuck like, which filter should I put on my selfie? You know, the point I'm trying to make is that the plot of life is not that complex. You're born, you live some years, then you're gone. I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but it's fact. And that's why the biggest mistake you can possibly make is not to fail, it's to be scared or complacent. You know, Benjamin Franklin was right when he said that you'll find the key to success under the alarm clock. And you have the chances and opportunities to turn those years into a full, rich life, all with the King of Glory holding your hand. Just keep in mind that the road to success is always under construction. Tonight is just a pit stop in the journey. It's not the destination. It's been a true honor to spend these years with you, and I'd ask you not to cry that it's over. Just smile that it happened. Thank you for the smiles. Thank you for the laughs. Thank you for the good times. Next year, I'll be studying 5,247 kilometers away from the rest of you. But know that I have 20 empty holes in my heart, shaped like each one of you. And each of you will always have a spot in it. And when I come back, first of all, I'll be Dr. Jesse to all of you. And I think it goes without saying, I'll be switching dentists and coming to my place. And that goes for all your teachers as well. And may God bless your plans with success, your dreams with fulfillment, and your heart with peace throughout a happy future. And if you'll allow it, I think I'll give my last words to my good friend, Winnie the Pooh. If there ever comes a day when we can't be together, keep me in your heart. I'll stay there forever. And if ever there's tomorrow when we're not together, there's something you must always remember. You are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. But the most important thing is, even if we're apart, I'll always be with you. Thank you.
I want to thank Jesse for those insights and that unique perspective, and I would ask one more time that the grade 12 class stand. I'm going to congratulate them all. I would ask the grade 8s to join them now. We're going to change our position as well. We're going to sing a hymn at this time. The graduates are going to come down to the front, and Dr. Saunders will address them. And while they do that, we'll sing the hymn on your order of service. Go to the world for the sake of his name. We send them forth tonight in Jesus' name, praying for them. Let's all stand together. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this hymn, but do your best as we sing all three verses. Invite Dr. Saunders to come now. Don't think he wants these flowers here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much tonight for coming, and this is a very special night for us all, and I pass on my heartfelt congratulations to all of our young people. I know it's been a long night, and it's a hot one for everyone here. I will not keep you long, but I do ask for your undivided attention as we share with you a word of God, a word from the Lord, which I believe he has for us tonight. It's taken from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, and this is the verse. It says, "And the King, that is Christ, shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." What's this all about? The context of this has to do with the Lord, really, is at the day of judgment. And the people had gathered. And the Lord commended his servants, saying to them, "You have done things unto people. You have given yourself in water, in food, in simple things of life." And he says, "You have done this unto me." And they questioned and said, "Lord, how have we done this?" And he repeated it again, "If you have done it unto one of the least of these mine, you have done it unto me." This is the word I want to leave with you tonight. Simply this: service to others is service to Christ. Great privilege that we have of educating. It is a great privilege for you young people to be educated. There are many in the world that do not have this privilege. It's an honor for us, something we should not take for granted. You've come to a milestone now of your graduation. Most certainly the grade 12s as you move on from here.
And I hope that none of you are surprised that you have graduated. Some of your teachers may be, but I hope you're not. And I want you to press on. No more tests now, and no more projects, no more assignments or essays. They're all completed. And in the words of one man, Mr. Cooper, he said, "School's out for summer. School is out forever." Well, that may not be the case. Don't jump ahead too quickly. Now, we sometimes refer to graduations as commencement times because they are the start of something you're going to be doing farther on. University, college, maybe the workplace. Now, whatever is the case, whatever you're considering, higher education, something, you have plans, you have goals and aspirations, you have desires and hopes, you have interests. And as it already has been mentioned tonight, the most pressing thing is that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Submission unto the Lord. We have to admit today that we're living in a very self-centered society. A generation that is too often concerned with me-ism, centered on what's in it for me. If I don't see it profiting me, it's not to my benefit, then I'm really not going to invest. I'm not going to give. I don't really care. I want to have this on my terms. I want to live my life my way. And in fact, some have sung the song exactly teaching that. I have lived. I have done it my way. You see, me-ism is alive and well. We used to have a poster in the school. I haven't seen it for a long time. It used to say there is no I in team. The whole idea was building team spirit. There's no individuality here. But then one smart student years ago said, yes, but there is me in team. He could spell that out of it. The idea was, yes, we want to promote the idea that it's not all about the individual. It's about serving. It's about being part with others. The Apostle Paul said, "Ye have not so learned Christ." And I pray you have not so learned the Lord here at Whitfield in that way, but you have learned rather what is being taught here by the Lord from Matthew 25. Be ready. Be willing. Be serving. Because service to others is service to Christ. What's important here to notice is that this service is found in ordinary things. These are common things being spoken about here. Common things of common grace. You know, the Lord makes His rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. And these ordinary things, we will call them necessities of life. What are they? Giving someone water. Giving shelter if necessary. Taking care of their health needs. Things that we would look at as very ordinary. You know, life on earth is but a stepping stone for us into eternity. And actions that we engage in here will impact us in eternity. For the Lord has said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. I ask ourselves tonight, is this our service life? Is this how we are looking at these things? Do we have to say maybe tonight we're too self-centered and we're not really Christ-centered? Whitfield, we have commended to you the word of the Lord from the first day you arrived in the school. And the whole structure and form of our institution is founded upon the word of the living God. This is truth. This is knowledge. This book is life. And life is found in Christ. And therefore, as we take these words that He is saying to us, we take them for our benefit, and we will take them in our life, and it will be to His glory. But notice, secondly, that this service will be defined by everyday actions. It strikes me when I read this, it's not the great accomplishments that the Lord is marking here. It was not a Noah building an ark. It was not Moses leading Israel through the Red Sea. It wasn't him going up to the top of the mountain to receive the law of God and come down. It wasn't David going out to slay the Goliath. It wasn't Elijah calling down fire from heaven on the top of Mount Carmel. It's not even talking about missionaries trekking to foreign lands. It's speaking about everyday actions. Because that's what true Christianity is. That's what true faith is. That's what's truly living for the Lord. It is doing this because we know it's His command. And we love Him. And we want to honor Him. We realize that Christ is the one who has created this world. He is the one who has redeemed us. And it's to Him that we owe everything. And so He says to us, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. In these matters, my young friends, set yourself. Set this as a marker in your life, because your life will be defined by these everyday things. There was a man who we knew several years ago. He's passed on now to be with the Lord. His name is Dr. Ken Connolly. He preached in this pulpit and he relayed this story. He was visiting at a church where he was preaching a conference in the United States. And while throughout the day he was at the home of his host people, and they had gone off to work and he was by himself, and therefore he had to prepare himself lunch. And he went down to the kitchen, he prepared himself lunch and finished. He went over to wash up his dishes and he was standing at the sink. And the lady of the house had a plaque that was above the sink. And he looked at the plaque and he read it, and it said this: not somehow, but triumphantly. Simple words. Not somehow, but triumphantly. He goes back up to the room where he was trying to do his study and he couldn't get any rest, no peace. He said to himself, why did she have that over the kitchen sink? Not somehow, but triumphantly. What does that mean? And as he thought on it, he realized that that's the key of life. That's the key of service. Even in the mundane things, my young friends, in the things that you will take as being just ordinary, in serving Christ in the ordinary things, it's not just somehow I'll get through this, it's but triumphantly we are going to serve and live for Him. That's what it's all about. This is the Christian life. Something else here is that these actions were unnoticed by the doer. The people who stood before the Lord said, Lord, when have we ever done all this for You? We were unaware of it. And He said, when You have done it unto one of the least. You see, a life alive to God will not be lived out of a forced obedience. It will not be lived out of a dutiful compliance to the rules. No, friends. It'll be out of a heart of love for the Lord. That's how we are to serve. Do we fail? Of course we fail. Do we let the Lord down? Yes, we do. And we have and we will. Do we let ourselves down? Yes, we do. And others around us. But there is a goal. There is something to aim for. And this is what I believe this portion is teaching us here. And it's living and serving and giving in kindness and compassion and gentleness and trying to live peaceably with all men. Trying to fulfill the great commission of doing unto others as You would have them do unto You. It's a reaction that we are to have. And you've known people as I do, and maybe sadly we have to fit ourselves into this category. And we're asked to do something. It's kind of like, well, okay, I'll do it. You know, force yourself along to do it. But then, you know, other people, when you ask them to do something, nothing's a problem. They willingly come and help and will give an aid. And again, I come back to the kind of the me-ism mentality of the day. If it's not going to benefit me, I want no part of it. But if I have to, I guess I will. Friends, don't be like a Trojan horse Christian. Don't be that which is all painted up nice on the outside, but with bad stuff on the inside. Be true for the Lord. Be right for Him. A life of serving others, it's really at the true heart of Christianity. And know this, that your actions are noticed by the Lord. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mind of humility, of love, of care. A man by the name of Duncan Campbell, he was used of God in the 1949 revival in the Isle of Lewis. He said something in one of his messages that really struck me. It was this. He said, the most important activity in the life of a Christian is your unconscious influence. What did he mean by that? He meant how you live when you don't think anybody's looking. How you behave when you don't think anybody really is paying attention. He said, our unconscious influence in our life is really what comes out of the heart of our love for the Lord and of our desire to serve. And so I say to us tonight all, let us pray that the Lord would take us and mold us and make us so that our unconscious influence in the world around would be marked and would make a difference for the Lord's sake. Yes, it may be unnoticed by ourselves, these things, but this portion of Scripture tells us that the Lord takes notice of all things. And there is a day of reckoning, a day when we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm speaking to all of us as Christians here. The fire of God will come upon our life's work, and the wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. What is that? Sin? No, not sinful things necessarily. Because Christ has paid for our sin on the cross, we will not be judged for our sin. But we will give an account for how we have lived our life. And for many of us, maybe there's too much wood, hay, and stubble. Just stuff in the world. Things that aren't themselves bad, but they're not counting for eternity. We have to live with an eye to the Lord, so that when the fire does come of judgment and of purging, well, there will be gold and silver and precious stone, that which is lasting. That's the image here. That which is valuable in God's kingdom and in His mind. And so, my friends, how do I live this way in a very twisted world, in a corrupt world, in a self-centered world? How can I live this way? The first thing that is so vital is that you must have Christ in your heart. You must know Him. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here tonight, and you're here in this meeting, and you're here for the rejoicing and congratulating of these graduates, but you yourself, you don't know the Lord. You're not a Christian yet. You're not a believer. The first thing is that you confess Christ. The first thing is that you receive Him as your Savior and call upon Him, repenting of your sin. And then at that point, you will say, I have the Lord in me. My life will be lived for His honor. And we submit ourselves to His holy word. And we submit and pray, Lord, give me a heart for God and a heart for Your things. That the will of God will be my will. I want to do what He wants me to do. Walking in the Holy Spirit. How can we live like this? Walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the ways of the world. It's by abiding close to Christ. That's the answer. That's the challenge. Because in serving others, we are serving Christ. May the Lord bless His word to your heart tonight. And take it with you as you live for Him. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, tonight we commit these dear young people into thy gracious hand. Lord, surround them and cover them with your grace, your mercy and love. Help them, O God. We know that the devil has a plan for their lives to destroy them. He has a plan to hinder their work for the Savior. O God, protect them, we ask, as they go out to higher places of learning, places that are no friends to the things of God. Be with them. Reinforce their faith. Strengthen them in their walk with Christ. O Lord, put a burning desire in their soul to say, I want Christ, not the world. Lord, hear this, our prayer tonight, as we commit them, commit their families to thy perfect will. So, Lord, part us now tonight in your fear, thy blessing, rich mercy, follow us. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.